Matthew 4:4. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Matthew 4:4. Would you open your Bibles, please, to Ephesians 4:23. Ephesians 4:23. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin our study this evening. A magnificent verse before us. In fact, a number of verses before us this evening, because in a few moments we'll begin our reading with Ephesians 4:14 and read down through verse 24. So if you'll open your Bibles, please, to Ephesians 4. We'll begin the reading in a few moments with verse 14. Read down through verse 24. Our verse for this evening, though, is Ephesians 4:23. We have some very interesting verses of Scripture before us tonight. We're emphasizing the righteousness of God, which makes possible the wonderful, magnificent edifice which God designed for every born-again believer. May we pray together, please. Father, we are grateful tonight for the fact that you promised us in your word that you would never leave us nor forsake us. You said that you would always be there, and we're thankful indeed this evening for the assurance that you are always present with us. We're grateful for your matchless grace, grace in salvation, grace to live each day, and the grace that one day will take us home. We're thankful for your matchless love and blessings upon our lives, even on this magnificent day. You've been so good to us, and we bow to express our deep thanks for the fact that we have seen the manifestation of your love again today. We thank you for it. We ask that in these moments of study this evening that we will have desirous hearts, perceptive hearts, that we will have a hunger for the Word of God that will cause us to be fruitful, abundant, victorious, triumphant winners. We thank you for your matchless grace and for the righteousness which has been given to us, prepared by our Heavenly Father through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. We begin our reading with Ephesians 4:14. We are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Ephesians 4:17. This I say therefore and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walked, in the futility of their mind. I pause with you for just a second on that word futility in verse 17, which is the word mataotes, which means emptiness. I repeat, this I say therefore and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk, in the emptiness, futility, mataotes of their mind. Now we find verse 18, a very startling, pungent, powerful verse indeed. Being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. And they have become callous, lost all sensitivity, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness, lust for more. Verse 20, But you did not learn Christ in this way. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, and that you being renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. I pause with you for a few moments to look at verse 18, where it says that these individuals are darkened in their understanding. The Greek word there is interesting because it is the Greek word nous, which is the way it's used here is noia, N-O-I-A, and it prefixes D-I-A, which is an emphasis upon a divided mind being darkened in their understanding. Separated, alienated from God's magnificent plan. Why? Because of ignorance that is in them. Because of the hardness. The Greek word there is porosis, the hardness of their heart. And they have become callous. The word callous is a word which means to lose all sensitivity. They've given themselves over to sensuality. We have some of the most interesting, powerful, strong words in the Greek language used right here. One of those is the word sensuality. For the practice of every kind of impurity. Another very strong Greek word for impurity. And then greediness, which means lust for more. I have a desire to go through all these Greek words, but I will not take the time to do that this evening. Verse 20, but you did not learn Christ in this way. Verse 21, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, and it is true that you have, just as truth is in Jesus. Verse 22, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit. And now, our verse for this evening, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. We now see this verse on the screen. This is Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23, a very simple verse, a brief verse, small verse, but a powerful verse indeed. With the foundation of the verses which we've just read, we now can look at this verse of Scripture. Ephesians 4:23 says, and to be renewed in the spirit of the mind. We pause for a few moments and take a look this evening at what we have in the Greek words found in Ephesians 4:23, where we have the word renewed. You will discover that we have learned in the past that the Greek word for mind is the Greek word nous. Also, it is the word noeo, N-O-E-O. If you look carefully, you will see here that one part of this word is N-E-O-O, which is the word for mind. You'll see that the first part of the word, which is a prefix, is the word anna, A-N-N-A, which emphasizes the importance of repetition to be something that's done over and over again. God desires that every believer have a renewed mind, a mind that is renewed on a continual basis. That's the reason why that this particular verb is an infinitive. We'll talk about that in a few seconds. But first of all, you will see that it is a present tense verb. The present tense verb means continuous action. It is God's plan for believers to have a continually renewed, changed for the better mind. And you'll notice it is a passive voice, which means that this man is received, which is a beautiful verse. It doesn't say that we renew our mind. It says we are the recipients of a renewed mind. And that's the reason why the verbs are so very important here. This particular one is a passive voice. The subject receives the action of the verb. And so here we have an emphasis upon a continuous renewal of the mind. The mind is to be renewed, having been received from the power of righteousness from God. And then you'll notice that we have an infinitive verb. The infinitive is the verb of wish or desire. It is God's desire that every born-again believer have a renewed mind. It should be the desire of every born-again believer to have a renewed mind. Now, I'm sure that you're able to see that a lot more could be said here, but I'm trying to get you to understand very clearly how powerful this verse is, and to be renewed in the spirit of the mind. If you'll look carefully, you will see again the word nous here. This time it is N-O-O-S. You'll see that the Greek word is pneumati, which is the word spirit. And then you'll have the personal pronoun, which is the mind of us. I want to begin this evening by telling you that we need to turn now to the third chapter of the book of Romans. I'm going to ask you, if you will, please, to move quite rapidly to the third chapter of the book of Romans. When you go to Romans chapter 3, you will find some very powerful verses indeed. We're going to back up to verse 20. Because by works of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For through the law comes the knowledge of sin. You're looking now at Romans 3, 21. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and being witnessed by the prophets. Verse 22. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe, for there is no distinction. I would like for you to look carefully at verse 22. You will see that it says, even the righteousness of God through faith. On the screen now, you're going to see some beautiful words for righteousness. We're not going to spend a lot of time here other than to point out that the word that I just have read for you from this third chapter of Romans, verse 22, is the first word that you see on the screen now, which is the word dikaiosune. A beautiful word. You might want to write it out. We'll be talking about it more in detail as we move along. The next word is dike, which is a noun. It means to pay a penalty. The next word that you see on the screen is dikaios, D-I-K-A-I-O-S. This particular word, as you can see, is an adjective, and it means upright. It means just. The last word that you see on the screen now is dikaio, and it is a verb, and it is the word which means to show mercy. All of you are aware of the fact that I have presented to you the subject for this evening, and that is the righteousness of God makes possible the believer's edifice. In other words, the Christian spiritual house of the soul. Romans chapter 3, verse 22, you now see on the screen again, which says, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe. For there's no distinction, there's no difference. What I want to do tonight is to take this verse of Scripture and the verses we've read before from Ephesians, and let you see how God has provided for us and prepared for us His great righteousness, God's righteousness, and man's sinfulness are very, very far apart. That's something that all of us here tonight know. God's righteousness on the one hand, man's sinfulness on the other hand, very far apart. So the question is, how are these brought together? How can God's righteousness on the one hand and man's sinfulness on the other hand be brought together? First of all, we must realize that God does not condescend, nor does God compromise. It's beautiful for us to realize, it's right for us to know, that God does not condescend and God does not compromise. When I look at this verse of Scripture, and I want you to see it again before we take it off the screen, it starts off with a little word, even. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe. When I look at this verse of Scripture and I see that conjunction, even, the conjunction even is in contrast to what was revealed and is now realized through faith in Christ. The book of Romans is a magnificent book indeed. I need to point out to you that you can look up in Romans chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, through those first chapters of the book of Romans, and you count the number of times that you find the word faith, and you'll be surprised that you will not find it. I believe it's one time in the first six chapters. When you get into chapter 8, you will discover that the word faith is used in one particular chapter. I counted, I believe, 19 or 20 times that the word faith is used. The reason why I mention that is I want you to see that here in this passage of Scripture, the conjunction even is in contrast to what was revealed and what is realized. There's a difference in what is revealed and what is realized. In your life and mine, there's a difference between what is revealed and what is realized. Because you've been listening to the Word of God over a period of months and years, many things that have been revealed now have been realized. You've come to understand, you've come to comprehend, and you have been able to appreciate the things that you heard that you didn't know about very well. You heard about it, many verses that you could even quote, but you didn't know what they meant. What I want you to see that in Romans 3:22, we discover here that even is a contrast to what was revealed and is now realized through faith in Jesus Christ. Number three, this is the same righteousness of God, but is now specific in its appropriation. The appropriation that I see now is in these words that I have in quotes, through faith in Jesus Christ. Notice that? Through faith in Jesus Christ. Number four, Roman numeral four. Paul has already offered the idea of faith, but has been general in the development of his argument. He talked about faith, but he did not give faith a specific object. Now we discover that he begins to give faith a specific object. Roman numeral five. Man is not saved by some random faith or a faith that describes some merit on the part of mankind. In other words, mankind, men, women, boys, and girls, are saved by a specific faith, not merely in God, but in Christ Jesus. It's amazing to me when I think about the beautiful words in the New Testament in the words in the Old Testament for the word faith. I'll not take the time tonight to go through a lot of this, but I want to present some of them. The word pistis, P-I-S-T-I-S, is a noun meaning reliable, faith, that which is believed. There is the Greek word pistos, P-I-S-T-O-S, an adjective which means dependable, inspiring of trust, believing. There's the Greek word pistuo, P-I-S-T-E-U-O, a beautiful word, a verb, meaning to believe. It means to be convinced. For instance, if I say, I believe, I use the Greek word pistuo. Pistos is the word faith. Pistuo is I believe, which means I faith it. You see how beautiful that is? There's the Greek word pitho, P-E-I-T-H-O. A verb. It means to obey in the present tense. It means to be persuaded in the aorist tense. It means to have confidence in the perfect tense. It means to have faith in all tenses. Now, I know I'm going rapidly, but I want you to see that these words are beautiful. In the New Testament, you have Greek words that describe faith, and we're talking about what Paul is saying here, a specific faith, not something general, but a faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, specific. There are a number of Hebrew words. I'm not going to go through the pronunciation of these words, but I want to give you some of them. One of them is a noun. It is the Hebrew word, E-M-E-T-H, which means a strong word for truth. There's another word, batak, B-A-H-T-A-K. It is a word which means to rest, to trust. The word originally used was used by wrestlers for giving someone a body slam in Psalm 37:3 and Psalm 91:2. It means, and I love this, to slam your problems on the Lord. How fantastic. That's the Hebrew word batak, B-A-H-T-A-K, Psalm 37:3, Psalm 91:2. There's another Hebrew word, K-A-H-S-A-H. It's a verb in Psalm 57:1. In this one, I thought was quite unique also. It's used of a rabbit fleeing from a desert fox and finding refuge in the cleft of the rock where the fox can't reach him. It means to believe in the sense of finding refuge in the Word of God or taking shelter in the Lord Jesus Christ. How beautiful that is. Do you want any more words of the Hebrew for faith? All right. I thought you would. The next one is Y-A-H-K-A-L. It's a verb which means to trust. It means to trust in no matter what the circumstances are. Job 13:15, suffering. Lamentations 3:21, 24, in times of difficulties. There's one other word, and I thought this was so unique. It's a word that is used in the sense of binding or twisting strands of fiber together to make a rope. Some of you are aware of the fact that that's the way ropes are made, the twisting or the binding of strands of fiber. Threads are weak in themselves, but when they're woven together with other, they become strong. This means that we're weak and we can be broken, but woven into the Lord and into His Word, we cannot be broken. And that's revealed in Isaiah 40:31 and Lamentation 3:25. In case any of you want this, it's yours. It's all here for you. Now I have to hasten to tell you that the subject tonight is God's righteousness makes possible an edifice. All right. Let's look at it. Would you say tonight that we have a righteous God? Sure. Okay. God's righteousness must be defined. It means that God is perfectly good. Not just sometimes good, but always good and forever good. I like that, don't you? God is good. This means that God is perfectly good. Not just sometimes, but always and forever. Number two, God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. 1 John 1:5. Number three, God cannot have anything to do with sin. The Scripture says He cannot and will not let filthy rags come near Him. Isaiah 64:6. Number four, no matter how hard we try, we cannot be good enough, holy enough, to satisfy God. All our righteousness is but filthy rags. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So no matter how hard we try, we cannot be good enough, holy enough, to satisfy God. Number five, you know what He says? He says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy," in 1 Peter 1:16. And we cannot do that. So I put in capital letters, what shall we do? If God is saying to us, "Be ye holy as I am holy," and we realize we cannot be holy, what can we do? Number six, He knew all along that because of our depravity, we would never, in human ability, be able to achieve righteousness. Oh, folks, stay with me. See how precious and wonderful this is. He knew all along that because of our depravity, we would never be able, in our own strength and our own human ability, to be able to achieve righteousness. So what happens? Number seven, therefore, He sent His own Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to share God's righteousness with all who wants it. Now listen to this carefully. God will share His righteousness with everyone who wants it. John 1:12, "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." Are you listening? How fantastic John 1:12 is. Let me back up. You may have missed it. We can't reach through our own strength and human ability. And God says, "Be holy as I'm holy." We can't do this. Therefore, He sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to share God's righteousness with all who want it. Deity too became God in the flesh to be able to go to the cross and pay the supreme sacrifice to provide salvation. The Scripture says, "For He hath made Him," Christ, "to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made," "that we might be made the righteousness," dikaiosune, "of God in Him." Did you notice earlier that I said the Apostle Paul is not talking about something general? He's talking about something specific. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Number nine, a most wonderful thing happens in a way which we never fully understand. Until one of these days, we say goodbye to this world and we find ourselves in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ when we get to heaven. We cannot fully comprehend all we're talking about here tonight. We're talking about it as if we know what we're talking about. But I promise you, there's so much more than what I'm talking about. I said earlier that there's a difference between something revealed and something realized. And the more we study God's Word, and that's why you're here this Wednesday night, the more we study God's Word, the more we realize that what is revealed is becoming more and more in our hearts and lives realized. Number 10, God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, died on the cross, came forth from the grave, and will save anyone who will believe. The Scripture is so vivid when it says, "For Christ has once suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, on the one hand, but on the other hand, was quickened by the Spirit. Now, you have to understand that I do love the Greek language. Have I ever told you that? And when I found this, I felt like I needed to let you see that the Lord is so beautiful in what He does for us if we just let Him. And He says, I want to tell you something. Are you willing to listen to what I have to say? On the one hand, so-and-so. On the other hand, so-and-so. Do you see? And so I had to tell you that in the original language, it has a little word, men, M-E-N. Over here it says day. On the one hand, on the other hand, we've got to see that. So I'm looking at it again. For Christ has once suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, on the one hand, but on the other hand, was quickened by the Spirit. 1 Peter 3:18. Do you see what that's saying? That's saying that Christ died, but Jesus Christ did not stay dead. Jesus Christ came forth alive. Okay, I don't need to tell you that anymore. Roman numeral 2. Man's righteousness requires God's righteousness. Because the Scripture says all our righteousness is but filthy rags. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So, since all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23, and no one measures up to the divine standard, nor can anyone achieve God's righteousness through any self-effort, each person must then accept for himself, not for someone else, not for the children, not for the parents, not for husband, not for wife, but for self. Each person must accept for himself, herself, the only provision of salvation. It says, the righteousness of God, which is by faith in Christ Jesus, is available unto all and upon all them that believe. Can you see how powerful these verses are in Ephesians and now also in the book of Romans? And I have a few moments to tell you that I have found so many beautiful things. I'm excited. I'm looking forward to Sunday because we're going to reiterate some things that we've found. We've got some diagrams to give you. We've given some information. Some of you got it. Some of you didn't get it. It doesn't matter. If you got it, that's fine. You'll get some more. If you didn't get it, you'll get it for the first time. Did you hear that? Okay. God's righteousness provides for us an edifice of the soul. Have you heard this before? As a believer in Jesus Christ, your body, soul, and spirit. Now, that's not new. The edifice is an unseen, invisible house in your mind, in your soul. I can stand here and look at this wonderful congregation tonight and tell you that you look wonderful, but I cannot see the invisible house of your soul. Hebrews 6:19, Hebrews 10:16. This invisible house, number two, can only be constructed by the truths of the Word of God that you have as a result of where you've been and what you've been doing over the past weeks, months, and years. Where you are tonight as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ is determined by where you've been and what you have been learning in past weeks, months, and years. This invisible house can only be constructed by the truth of the Word of God in your soul. Beautifully depicted in 1 Corinthians 3:16, 6:19, 2 Corinthians 6:16. This construction is not in every believer's soul. Did you notice how I said that? I want you to see that I'm saying it's possible for a person to have been born into God's kingdom and they stay a little nepios. Nepios is a baby believer. They do not advance. They do not grow up. They're born into God's kingdom. They've been saved. And many times, how tragic this is, they go through life as a little tiny baby. Not every believer has the construction of the spiritual house of the soul. Number four, this construction is built gradually. This construction is built slowly, like the building of an earthly house. That's the reason why I encourage people to be here on Sunday morning for both services and to hear God's word on a daily basis, every single day, because the construction of the house is done slowly and gradually. Number five, when this edifice is built, then there will be something inside to give spiritual thinking ability, resulting in stability, resulting in maturity. These are very, very, very important points. They need to be gone over and over and over again. You need to hear it over and over again. You need to write it down. You need to go on the internet, find it, and copy it, and look at it. When this edifice is built, then there will be something inside of you to give you spiritual thinking ability. You will have the ability, because of the Spirit of God and the Word of God and the saturation of God's thinking in your soul, to determine the things that are right and the things that are wrong. You'll be able to see horizontal viewpoint and detect it immediately. You'll be able to see vertical viewpoint and detect it immediately. All because of the thinking, spiritual thinking ability. Number six, with the construction, it's still possible to get out of harmony, out of fellowship, like any unbeliever. There are different names for this construction. Imitators of Christ, being filled full, pleroo, Christ at home in our hearts, put on a new man. Each person must choose to construct his own spiritual edifice. Righteousness makes possible this edifice. Each person must choose to construct his own spiritual edifice in his own soul. And this takes consistency. This takes persistence. This means making decisions daily to receive the mind of Jesus Christ by learning doctrinal precepts. I must hasten. Oh, how sweet and wonderful this is. Spiritual momentum is gained by making right decisions, which result in the ability to really worship, which I call true worship, having an altar of the soul. If you and I are where we ought to be, we have an altar in our souls. I will put my laws into their hearts, Hebrews 10, 16b, and in their minds will I write them. Proverbs 24, 3a, through wisdom is a house built, and by understanding it is established. There's your spiritual house of the soul. Proverbs 24:4. By knowledge shall the chambers, the edifice, be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Many years ago, we decided we would love to have antiques. And so we would buy antiques a few at a time. We bought antiques from a particular antique dealer, and I paid once a month $100. I would just go and pay $100 on the first day of the month. And she would let us take those antiques home, and she'd mark it off as I went along month after month. We moved those things in. I think about that when I look at Proverbs 24:4. By knowledge shall the chambers of this edifice be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. your spiritual house needs to have all of this magnificent thinking. Move those pieces of furniture in. Let this part come in. Let this piece come in, so that you'll be able to admire all what God has inside of you, so that you can utilize and apply it. It's the Word of God that makes the difference. And God's righteousness provides this edifice. Closing, 5 points. The only way to know and love the Lord Jesus Christ is to have the Word of God. Consistent intake means occupation with Christ. When the Word is received while filled with the Holy Spirit, it guides us and leads us to occupation with the Lord Jesus Christ. The Word of God is a source for vertical viewpoint. The Word of God is a source for vertical viewpoint. And number 5, God's Word produces stability of soul. I want you folks to know, and I'll close with this. Went to the eye doctor yesterday, and the eye doctor became alarmed and very, very upset, not with me, but upset that she saw something in my right eye that was very alarming to her. And so she was very determined that I see today a retina specialist. And so we had to go all the way to Katy today, early this morning, to see this eye retina specialist. And I want you to know that if you looked at my eyeballs tonight, they're large. So you're the most beautiful audience I've ever seen, because I can't see you very well, because my eyes have been dilated. And they're still, after all these many hours, my eyeballs are still dilated to a certain degree. But the report today, and they put me through it, and I'm just sharing this with you to let you see how fantastic the Lord is to us, all of us. But anyway, test after test after test after test, and finally this sweet and wonderful doctor was able to give me a report that was extremely a blessing and an answer to our prayers, because we asked the Lord if He'd just let me be able to see you folks a few more years. I wanted to do that. And so it looks like, even though that right eye is not a good eye, the left eye is good, and the Lord is very good to us, and we're thankful for His blessings. So much for that. May we bow for a moment of prayer. Father, thank You so much for this day and the blessings that You give us, the wonderful way You take care of us. We realize that all of us face difficulties and burdens and trials along the way. And we're thankful that You've given us the assurance in Your Word that You would give us the grace and strength for whatever comes our way. And we thank You for every blessing. And as we close this service now, we think of those who may hear this message who've never accepted Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior. We thank You that You were willing to leave heaven's glory and come to the earth, go to the cross, die for the sins of the world, be buried, come forth out of the grave, to ascend, to sit at the Father's right hand, to save anyone who will trust You. We pray that there will be those who hear the message who will right now accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Because we realize that Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other way of salvation other than through Jesus Christ." So we pray that there will be those who will accept You right now, because the Bible says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved." Didn't say hope so or maybe so, but it says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved." Thank You for that magnificent promise and all the promises in relationship to Your plan of salvation for mankind. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.